Good morning all, and a very warm welcome to the service here at Morialta today. We're also welcoming Kimber with us again today. We know that they take our service every so often, and they are with us today. So hello to everybody in Kimber. We hope you are with us in prayer and in thought, and we send you our best wishes. The Christ candle and the peace candle are lit. The light they bring reminds us that in the light of the risen Christ light shines even in the darkest places and times. The darkness has no power to overcome it. Hope endures eternal. We acknowledge that we worship on the unceded land of the Kaurna nation.
We honour the Wurundjeri nation.
We pledge to the wisdom of all those peoples
and to walk together with mutual respect in this land we call Australia.
I invite you to stand if you are able, and we will sing together, "Let All Creation Dance." God of beginnings and endings, we give thanks for your presence with us on our Pentecost journey over the past 25 weeks, when our visible landscapes have been transformed from the grey-green of winter to the wattle gold of spring. What about our personal landscapes? Have we allowed them to be transformed? What have we seen and what have we heard? What has been sown in our hearts? We've seen life restored by Jesus' compassion and Jairus' faith, a frail woman's touch and a blind man's persistence. We've seen crowds being fed, children blessed, and people taught about love, service, and death. We have heard Paul's words of faith about strength in our weaknesses and receiving God's grace. The words of James resound in our ears. Faith without works is dead. And Jesus, high priest and servant of all, gave us only two commandments, love God and love neighbour. He repeated the cost of discipleship, where the first becomes last and the last becomes first. We confess that all too often Our eyes get distracted and our ears tune out. Our hearts become set in familiar ways. Our journeys of faith become routine and all too predictable. We so often don't expect to be transformed. God of ending and new beginnings, remind us that as we worship you together, we are transformed. As we lift up our hearts to you, we are lifted beyond ourselves to see life from your perspective. So as we near the end of this part of our journey, fill us anew with a sense of expectancy and joy as we recall that we are accepted and loved, forgiven and renewed, united and reconciled in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. Despite all that despoils life and the temptation to despair, hear again that we are accepted and loved, forgiven and renewed, united and reconciled in the name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand, or if you want to move around and pass the peace among the people near you or behind you, or just give them a friendly wave. So if you would like to pass the peace, please do so. It is so nice to see the joy and smiles on everybody's faces as they greet and bless each other. Now, once again, I invite you to stand if you're able, and we will sing together Hope for the Children.
From the witness from the epistles to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. So now, my friends, The blood of Jesus makes us free to enter the sanctuary with confidence by the new living way which he has opened for us through the curtain, the way of his flesh. We have a great priest set over the household of God, so let us make our approach in sincerity of heart and of full assurance of faith. Inwardly cleansing from a guilty conscience and outwardly washed with pure water. Let us be firm and unswerving in the confession of our hope, for the giver of promise is to be trusted. We ought to see how each of us may best arouse others to love and active goodness. We shall not stay away from other gatherings, as some do, but rather encourage one another all the more because we see the day of the Lord drawing near. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, 1 to 8. He was leaving the temple, one of his disciples explained, "Look, teacher, what huge stones! What fine buildings!" Jesus said to them, "You see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. They will all be thrown down." As he sat at the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, he was questioned privately by Peter, James, John, and Andrew. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? What will be the sign that all these things are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus began, "Be on your guard. Do not let no one mislead you. Many will come claiming my name and saying, 'I am he,' and maybe will be misled by them. Many will be misled by them. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things are bound to happen, but the end is still to come. For nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in many places. There will be famines. These are the first birth pangs of the new age." In these readings, we hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us sing together again, verse 1 and 2, of "Let us build a house where love may dwell."
Children, how hearts learn to forgive. I think the first thing I want to say is to congratulate you all on what a wonderful day yesterday was. Congratulations, Moriata, for a great market day. And I want to send my greetings to the folk at Kimba. I'm going to be assigned here to be the supply minister for up to 6 weeks, so I look forward to continuing to walk with you. And of course, greetings to all other people watching online. I don't know about you, but the slaughter of the innocents, first by Hamas in the modern day of Israel, but then on a totally unjustifiable scale by the Israeli Defence Force in Gaza, especially of children, is more than I can take. I just want to turn off the TV. The suffering of children is unconscionable. But you know, we have to watch. We cannot become desensitized. Even if many around the world are, because their chosen media outlets keeps the carnage from them. I fear that with Trump in the White House, the plight of children will be ignored. So what happens to hope in such a world? Charles Dickens once wrote, "It was the worst of times and it was the best of times." Well, things may have been okay in Merry England, but not for the French. It was the worst of times. As the French Revolution swept away the ancient regime and Madame Guillotine was busy dispensing with the aristocracy. Yet, despite the despotism, something really new actually was being born, which particularly inspired the founders of the new United States of America. Let's go back a couple of millennia. In Jesus' time, the temple in Jerusalem, funded by the Romans and built by King Herod, was regarded as one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was noted for its huge stones. No one could ever imagine that it would be demolished. The temple also represented a liturgical sacrificial system designed to purify God's people. But it was all swept away. The impossible happened in AD 70 when the Romans destroyed it, fed up with the Jewish religious insurgents. They turned the big stones into rubble. Only a remnant remained, now known as the Wailing Wall. But not only the building, the whole religious system that went with it also collapsed. Now, this last week was November the 11th, and November the 11th is remembered for many different reasons. On September the 11th, 2001, the Twin Towers in New York collapsed. The unimaginable happened. The World Trade Center, the very symbol of capitalism, of Western dominance, was struck down. What a crash. Suddenly everyone felt very vulnerable, and we Australians were too. The Bali bombings on the 12th of October, 1 year later, was an act of revenge for Australia's support for the American hegemony. How do nations react to such events? What's your gut reaction? And then what might be your considered reaction? Well, we have a right to defend ourselves. And that's the first response. The Americans, well, together with some people who supported them, defeated the Taliban in Afghanistan, and the fabricated scare of weapons of mass destruction justified the invasion of Iraq with all its disastrous consequences. The revenge knee-jerk was not all that different from the Romans when they destroyed the temple and exiled the Jewish peoples. So revenge is often the first response. The big question left begging, is the outcome worth it? Another thing that happens in times of crisis is that people look for strong leaders. A clear warning by Jesus in the Mark reading, false messiahs will only bring destruction before they finally say. Now, if I stay any more here, you're likely to accuse me of getting too political, so I'll say no more. Another response in times of crisis is for people to look back. To look back to a supposed golden age. Make America great again. People yearn for the imagined certainties of the past, especially for some religious certainty. But you know, friends, history only moves forward. History only moves forward. The issue is, what is the new going to look like for all the people, not just the privileged few? What then happens to hope in times of crisis? Whether it be the social order, or for us personally, when we have to deal with crises in our own lives. Let me share some reflections for our consideration. Firstly, in the Mark reading, Jesus, despite its gloom and the stark words about destruction, Jesus says, in the midst of all this, there are the birth pangs of the utterly new. Now, it may have sounded like a bit of like cold comfort to the forced Jewish diaspora, but for the followers of the way of Jesus, what had been birthed was a new people with a whole new set of values, which were the opposite of the dominating Roman imperium. In the midst of tragedy, something wonderful and hopeful emerged called the new people of God. Our Hebrews reading made the point that the old temple system, now abolished, had been replaced by a whole new way of purification. Forgiveness of sins is declared by the one whose life was laid down as a sacrifice, disclosing the love of God, not just for the select few, but as something universal, able to set all people free from the tyrannies they endure, to lift people's burdens and dispel the paralysis of guilt. It is also good to note that the Markan passage finishes with these words, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never pass away." What do these words amount to? It needs decoding. Any time the gospel uses the words word or words, it refers to the core of what and who Jesus represents. That is Jesus embodying the unqualified affirmation of life, of you and me, despite the pains and burdens of our external situations. It is an affirmation that you and I and our church and our world remain precious in the midst of our struggle with change, with loss, and all the powers blinded by rage and revenge. one could say, despite all, hope lives in us and lives in you. But secondly, there is a warning. That is to recognise and resist false hope. This echoes Jesus' warning about false messiahs. Nikos Kazantzakis said in his spiritual exercises, "Conquer hope, the greatest temptation." Why on earth say that? Because hope based on the unreal or an unrepeatable past seen through rose-coloured glasses is ephemeral. It's false. The gospel reading makes it clear that we need a good dose of reality. That is, hope cannot be born in unreality. Wars and rumours of wars, nations being against nations, earthquakes, famines remind us that there is no sign of certainty. It means having what St. Paul calls hope beyond hope. This is a hope grounded in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. That is, new life rises up with the death of the old. The birth pangs of the new are amongst us now. This leads me to affirm thirdly that hope is always to do with trusting possibility. It may be hard, but hope is kept alive by always having the long view. The long view. The early Christians had the expectation that God's kingdom, unlike the kingdoms and empires of this world, which all will fall, that God's kingdom would eventually come to fruition. Now, they thought it might have come to a bit more fruition than perhaps it actually turned out to be. But nevertheless, they had the long view. What might that mean for us today? Mary Gray, in her book, The Outrageous Pursuit of Hope, proposes that the child is a symbol of hope for our times. This is also akin to having the long view, because the essence of hope is to trust, to believe something, even though the evidence seems to be to the contrary. It is like grace. Hope appears despite the gloom of the current situation. Mary Gray tells a story of the Wells for India project in Rajasthan, India. Children of local prostitutes, and many had been kidnapped, were deemed to have no future. But as part of this program, of this project, the Wells for India, it enabled the children to blossom, to flourish, to become filled with hopeful life. They dreamt of becoming doctors and teachers and lawyers. The name of the project was ASHA, the Hindi word for hope. Hope is born in the extremity of circumstances. And is that something you and I can experience in the extremities of our own lives? Let me conclude with a poem written by the contemporary Israeli poet Yehudi Amichai. Darkness is not all, nor war the last word, not by a long shot or a short. The children speak it, the last word, hope. Hope, the children, the child. In a couple of weeks' time, we shall begin to retell the amazing stories surrounding the birth of a child in Bethlehem. May we all be blessed by the outrageous pursuit of hope. It is, after all, at the core of the Christmas story. Amen. I'd like to invite you now to sing three more verses of the hymn, Let Us Build a House Where Love May Dwell.
Gracious God, you give us all things. Receive now the gifts of your people. Help us render to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you with our whole lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Helena has a few words she would like to say to us. I know what you're going to all get congratulated.
First, a big thank you to everybody that was involved in the market. There was a lot of work beforehand, during the market, and I'm afraid there's a bit more work to do after the market, in that we didn't clear up yesterday because of the heat. So any help that people can give after morning tea would be much appreciated. I won't mention names, but some people have worked incredibly hard for weeks, months, running up to the market. So even if you were just here on the day, or whatever you contributed, thank you. And the question you're all going to ask is how much money we raised. So far, we've taken in about $6,700 in cash on the day. There were quite a few sales before the market, and there will be sales after the market, and credit card sales to add into that. So that's a fantastic total, even without the bric-a-brac. There are some leftovers, predictably. We still have some gift boxes, crafts, books, plants. I believe Betty's Boutique is having a splash sale coming up. So please feel free to spend more money and take away some of the goods so that we don't have to tidy them up. There are a few sausages left and I think 3 loaves of bread too. If anybody's interested in taking those, please ask. Thank you.
I think we also should thank Helena. And there are other notices, of course. You would have received your news sheet via email or copies in the foyer today. Please take note of everything that's in it, because as you know, we are a very busy church. And also, of course, we will enjoy a cup of tea and coffee in the hall afterwards, get together, and we can talk about the successes of yesterday. Now we bring... we have some photographs from Kimber. They very kindly sent them through to us just to let them know a few of the things that has happened in their area, just with photographs. Thank you, Colin. They've obviously had bushfires over a long period of time. They're harvesting. Thank you, Colin. And now bring our prayers for the people. Prayer is a time to consider what is needed for life, for me, my neighbour, the neighbourhood and people of the world. In this land, Australia, we pray for those who struggle to meet the costs of housing and putting food on the table, for those who cannot find adequate and available housing. We think of people living and working on the land, struggling with uncertainty and unfairly controlled markets, dealing with uncertain and dramatically changing weather conditions, markets controlled by small numbers of retail organisations. In the wider world, we think of those who live on islands that are being inundated by the ocean, where the means of living and basis of identity will disappear, and the options for future cultural identity seem to be without foundation. And the wider world community seems to be deaf and indifferent to their need. We join with the prayers of the suffering people in Gaza, Lebanon, Ukraine, Sudan, Myanmar, victims who suffer indiscriminate bombings, see neighbours and strangers suffer physically and agonise over the uncertainty of a future beyond fear, pain and anguish, struggling to imagine a future for their children. May there be interventions which stop the carnage and bring peace at last and the reshaping of societies beyond prejudice, suspicion and hatred. Within humanity everywhere, we pray for the breaking down of barriers between people through hatred, indifference, maintaining of old prejudices and suspicions, self-interest, competitiveness, influence and ignorance. May journalists, TV presenters, publishers and owners, operators and users of social media operate responsibly and be sensitive to the potential power to influence the thinking, behaviour and meaning with individuals, societies and global organisations. May they tread carefully and think beyond wealth, personal profile and status to a future where we might reduce and remove prejudice, hatred, ignorance and indifference. Let us hear again the call as individuals and organisations that we may be part of the act to increase love, justice and righteousness. May it be so. Amen. And we join together in a contemporary version of the Lord's Prayer. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and all that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your voice through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. For trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love. if we can join together by standing and singing together, "All My Hope in God Is Founded."
Blessed by God's presence with you, assured by Jesus' love for you, transformed by the Holy Power's Spirit within you. Amen.